He that believeth in me, though he shall lie, die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. He who lives and believes in me, when Jesus comes, those Christians who are still alive, who are still living, he says, those who are alive and believe in me, he said, they will what? Never die.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message on expanding the limits of faith by trusting the process. Pastor Grant used as the main text of this message the account of the raising of Lazarus from the dead found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, where it is recorded that Jesus intentionally delayed his coming to Bethany after being told that his friend Lazarus lay there deathly ill. Through the curious circumstances described in the account and the passionate responses to his eventual arrival, Pastor Grant pointed out how that Jesus himself gave the reason for his delay. It was to expand the limits of his disciples' faith. Now, in the concluding part of this message, Pastor Grant brings the challenge of an expanded faith down to the present, using the same text to show how believing all of God's promises by trusting the process allows God to rebuild the life of the believer into a masterpiece of faith. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
You see, Jesus, I don't know if you ever noticed this, no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. Did you ever notice that? Jesus is letting you know that if he had gone to Lazarus, he would have healed him. Because no one dies in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus now doesn't go. He doesn't heal Lazarus. He allows Lazarus to die. And now that Lazarus is dead, he is going to do one of the most stupendous miracles in the Bible. He is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus said, I'm glad I was not there for your sake, because since he's dead and I'm going to raise him from the dead, you are going to have a front row seat to this resurrection. This man who has been dead for 4 days, hallelujah, you're going to have an opportunity to see the awesome power of God. You who are going to be responsible to take this gospel message to the ends of the earth, you are going to see something stupendous. And in a day to come, it will expand the limit of your faith, because you'll realize that this God is a miracle working God. This is a God who can raise the dead. Hallelujah. Yeah. Have you ever been involved in helping to raise somebody from the dead? Oh, I'm being serious. I'm not talking about spiritual, physical life. Sometimes we think physical life is the big deal. And don't get me wrong, it is a big deal. But you know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But how much longer do you think he lived? He came back to life. Probably 10, 15, 20 years later, he was dead again. So what I want to ask you, have you ever been involved in helping to raise a person who was spiritually dead, who was going to go to hell and roast in hell for eternity? Have you ever been involved in helping that person find eternal life, where they will live in heaven forever? Have you ever been involved in that? Can I tell you, the greatest thrill of my life is to share the message of Christ, to be called to preach this gospel, and to see men and women from every walk of life coming to faith in Jesus, and to see transformation in people's lives. And I want to ask you, have you ever been involved in a resurrection? Albert McMakin, he was only 24 years old. He was a young Christian. He didn't know very much about the Bible, But he realized that God had a plan for him and he wanted God to use him. And so Albert McMakin, 24 years old, didn't know much Bible, doesn't know as much Bible as most of you here in GCA. Albert McMakin heard there was a crusade in his city, and he decided what he could do. He could fill up his truck with his friends. So he got his pickup truck. I see some heads nodding, because that means some of you are reading our GCA devotional. Great stuff in the GCA devotional. Albert McMakin, he loads up his truck with his friends, and every night he takes them to the crusade. Now, most of us have never heard the name of Albert McMakin, but you may have heard of one of the guys, because one of the guys who got saved that day, that week, one of the guys who was riding, he got saved. I think you've heard of him. In fact, he died recently, and the United States Capitol had him as one of the few civilians in American history who was allowed to lie in state in the Capitol. I think most of you have heard by now of a guy by the name of Billy Graham. You ever heard of him? I wonder how Albert McMakin felt. Every time he saw Billy Graham preaching, he saw him preaching in Russia, in China, in North Korea. I wonder how Albert McMakin must have felt when he saw thousands of people coming to Jesus. I bet you Albert McMakin smiled and he said, God, I thank you that I had a part to play in his salvation. You might not know much, but you can tell somebody your testimony. You may not know much, but you can decide to invite. We are making it so easy. We have special invitation cards to invite people to Easter service. People will come to church on Easter. Don't be so afraid. I don't know what they may think of me. Don't be so afraid. Listen, nothing can go wrong. The safest place to be is in the center of God's plan. I challenge you, get involved. But third, we can expand the limits of our faith by trusting God despite his postponements. We can expand the limit of our faith by submitting to God's plan. And we can expand the limit of our faith by believing all God's promises. Oh, don't miss that. All. Jesus is on his way to Bethany finally. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, heard that Jesus is on the way. And Martha leaves home and she rushes out and she actually meets Jesus. And as Martha meets Jesus, she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I believe whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. I have no idea what she meant by that last phrase. But Jesus said to her, Jesus made an incredible promise to her. And Jesus said to her, Martha, your brother will rise again. Jesus intended to bring Lazarus back to life right away. That was too big a promise. The idea of, you know, some of the Jews had this idea that when a person dies, their spirit hovers around the body for 3 days. But after 3 days, the spirit leaves. And once the spirit leaves, there's no possibility of that person coming to life. I don't know if that was in Martha's head because of what she had heard some of her Jewish friends say. But suffice it to say, she knew this man was dead for 4 days. No prophet had ever done this. Jesus had ever done this. It was beyond the limit of credulity. And as far as she was concerned, it could not be done. So Martha says, yes, Lord, I know my brother will rise in the resurrection at the last day. That's as far as her faith could go. Yes, Lord, I believe he's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. He's rising right now. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, what? Shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Martha says, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Yes, I believe that. Did I miss something? I don't think that's what she was asked. You see, that's as far as her faith could take her. She believed God's promises, but she was not believing all of God's promises. And so later on in the passage, you find Martha saying this when Jesus says to them, Jesus gets to the cave and he says, roll away the stone. And Martha, what does Martha say? No. Why not? Help me out somebody. Why no? Martha says, there's an incredible smell. Leave it alone. My boy's going to come back at the last day. He ain't going to rise right now. Do you believe all God's promises? Do you know if you ask the average Christian, they will say yes. But I don't want an out answer. Do you really believe God's promises? Do I honestly believe if we really believe God's promises, we would not have such a hard time turning our lives over to God? But there's something in us that makes us believe, I'm not sure God can be fully trusted. I am not sure that if I turn my life over to God, he will really produce a masterpiece in my life. I'm not sure that God can actually bring to pass and use all these broken fragments of my life and bring all things to work together for my good. Somehow I am not sure I can believe God. So you know what happens, God? Since I'm not sure, I'm going to make a lot of the decisions myself. Do you mind, God? I'm going to make you the co-pilot. Oh, you remember that we used to have that bumper sticker? God is my co-pilot. Anybody ever saw that sticker back in the day? I guess I'm the only old guy here. God is my co-pilot. That's what we made him. I am the pilot. You can be co-pilot. Because we really don't fully trust him. We're not sure we can believe all his promises. You ask Joshua, can we believe all God's promises? And Joshua would tell you, he would point you to a statement he made as he comes to the end of his life. He calls the Israelites together, and in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, and I'm going to put it on the screen to make it easier for you. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, Joshua said, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God has made you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Somebody help me read this. Every promise has been fulfilled. What? Not one has failed.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
If you know somebody that makes incredible promises and not one has failed, is that sound like a person you can trust? Young men, does that sound like the type of, young lady, older person, is that the type of God you can trust? Joshua says not one of his promises has failed. And this God who has made these incredible promises is asking us to submit to his plan. He's asking us to believe all his promises. But we got to get back to our story. Because what an incredible promise Jesus made. And I don't want you to miss it. There are two aspects of that promise when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I hope you realize there are two parts to that promise. Don't miss this. Part one, he says, if you believe and die, you shall live. The person who has received Jesus Christ as Savior, even though they die, there is a resurrection day coming when the dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will live in heaven throughout the countless ages of eternity. And one of these days soon I'm going to say a few words about what heaven is like. Because some folks, I'm getting to find out, are a little scared of what is heaven going to be. But listen, all I know is this morning in Sunday school they read a scripture that says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered the imagination of the heart of man, the things that God has promised and has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is going to be indescribable. So part one of the promise says, listen, if you die, you're going to rise again. But part two says, he that believeth and is still alive, he that believeth in me, though he shall die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. He who lives and believes in me, when Jesus comes, those Christians who are still alive, who are still living, he says, those who are alive and believe in me, he said, they will what? Never die. Brother Charles used to say, they won't give the undertaker any business. Amen? There won't be any need for the undertaker. If Jesus comes today, we won't need the undertaker because we will have the upper taker. We shall never die. And I need to ask you, my friend, do you have that hope? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Are you sure that no matter what happens to you, you are going to live in heaven with God? Listen, it can happen to you today. You can receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior. But listen, let's look at the end of the incredible story. John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm picking up at verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would what? Oh, you understand, it's not that she didn't believe, he's trying to expand the limits of her faith. He said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they might believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died 4 days came out, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Listen, I need to read a couple of verses more. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Was this an incredible miracle or was this an incredible miracle? You would have thought that everybody who saw it would believe. The Bible says the majority of the people who saw it, they didn't believe. Did they need to see to believe? I need to ask you. Some of you have been here. You've heard the gospel message before. What more do you need that Jesus Christ died for your sin? He was hung on the cross for your sin and for my sin. What more do you need that Jesus paid the penalty your sin and my sin deserved? But hallelujah, God raised him from the dead. And because God raised him from the dead, that is proof positive that God accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And Jesus is inviting you this morning to come to him. Oh, I pray that this morning you would say, Lord Jesus, I am coming. I am coming. I want to receive you as my Savior. I want you to make a masterpiece in my life. I want you to take my broken vessel and make a masterpiece of it. About 2 years ago, two of our kids took us on a double date, and they took us to the pottery factory. I sat at the potter's wheel and they put a lump of clay in my hands. The clay was fully submissive to me. I could mold it. I could squeeze it. I could pull it. But you know, that lump of clay, what would become of that lump of clay was fully determined by my desire and my skill. I had a lot of desire. I had great plans of making this into something special. What I lacked was the skill. Oh, it's on display at my house. And it's not really on display. It's in some hidden corner. But I'm so glad I have a great master potter. He has the desire. He already told us he's got a plan. Oh, listen, he's got a plan for you. 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 No matter where he finds you, no matter how messed up you are, no matter how broken your little vessel is, he has got a plan to make a masterpiece out of your life. God has the desire, but here's the other part. God has the ability. All power in his hands. All power. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. He's able to make masterpieces out of us. Do you know the only thing that's holding him up? That clay was fully submissive in my hand. The problem is that in this audience this morning are Christians who are not submissive. We used to sing a song, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. You've got a masterpiece waiting for you. You've got a masterpiece waiting for you. The question is, are you going to have the courage to say, God, take me. I'm willing to submit. God, I'm willing to trust the process. I'm going to let you do your work in my life so that when you are finished, I will come forth as gold.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.